In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, we'll continue our study today. Today's going to be the last in the series for a season anyway. There are some other messages down the road, but a lot of summer activities and things going on. And next Sunday, Brother Baltadano is going to bring the message, and we're looking forward to that. Amen. And we do have a translator that's going to translate for us so that we'll be able to have a clear understanding. And I'm looking forward to that. I am so thankful to get to meet him. And what a wonderful spirited man he is. A man that has allowed God to use him. And what a blessing he is. You know, we don't think really often about the impact of the church beyond here. But I praise God that our ministry reaches all the way to Nicaragua and even other parts of the world. And we'll talk about that later on. But today we're going to talk about being men of understanding. Men of understanding. Verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? I've often wondered here why Peter spent 6 verses instructing women and only 1 instructing men here in verse 7. I don't have the answer to that, but my best guess is we can't take too much at one time. And so he's just giving us a little bit here so that we can take what he gives and apply it. Verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 3, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you just for the privilege of worshiping you, for you are worthy. We thank you for the baptism service this morning. We thank you, Lord, for just the joy of knowing you as personal Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life upon Calvary for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for the godly men of our church who stand on the truths of your Word and try to build their lives upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We thank you for our families. We thank you, Lord, for our missionaries. We thank you for your precious Word. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts and take your Word and just instill it within us that we may live and build our families upon the foundation of your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Men of understanding. I like the sound of that. Men of understanding. Have you ever heard the phrase, women, you can't live with them and you can't live without them? Whoever come up with that phrase was not a man of understanding. Okay? I want to talk to you today about becoming men whom understand their wives. Men who understand what God wants in their relationship of their wives. And I tell you, we can live with them, okay? And not only can we live with them, men, but we can be happy with them in our relationship to our wives. Today, we're going to learn how to be an expert on women. How's that? Pretty good? How to be an expert on the subject of women. And let me just check to make sure this message is not out of place. Ladies, do we need some instruction on being experts on women? Okay, you're not doing so bad. And we start, okay? And I broke this down. The Greek... So that it'd be very understandable for us, okay? Point number one. Men, don't be stupid. Well, husbands, dwell with them with understanding. Okay? The New King James says, dwell with them according to knowledge. If you put it in today's language, it's don't be stupid. Okay? I mean, the first thing that we as men have to understand is we need help. Okay? We do not have it all figured out. A lot of men think, you know, they have the concept that they have it all figured out. They don't need anyone to tell them how to do it or what they're supposed to be to their wife. They've heard preached before that men are supposed to be the head of their household and the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, and that's all they need to know because they are the big dog in their castle and you can't tell them anything. Guys, that doesn't work very well very long. We need to understand that we have a ways to go in learning about our wives. You see, we're not God's gift to women. Okay? As a matter of fact, our wives are God's gift to us. Okay? As God looked at Adam and he saw, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he caused a deep sleep to fall on him and took out a rib and made the woman for him to be his helpmate. It's God's gift to man. And when you've been given a gift of God, we're to be faithful stewards of that gift. Therefore, in our relationship to our wives, we better treasure it and we better hold it up as one of the most important aspects of our lives. When God says, or when Peter wrote under the inspiration of God, husbands, dwell with them with understanding. What he's saying is, dwell with them according to Scripture. An understanding of the way that God intended it to be. Okay? I've heard some people preach that, you know, you're supposed to know your wife. And you should. It really helps if you know her. You know what she likes. You know what she doesn't like. You know what sets her off. You know what doesn't set her off. You know what makes her happy. You know what makes her sad. Those are all good things. But the idea of the Scripture is not knowing the likes and dislikes of your wife. The idea of this Scripture is having a Bible knowledge of how God intends for your marriage to be built. And we need to realize that because, let's face it, guys, we're not real good at reading instructions. Amen? If you buy something and it comes in 500,000 pieces in a box, what do? You open the box, you empty it out, and you start putting it together without reading instructions. Right? That's the way we are. But see, what I want you to realize today is if you want to understand your wife, if you want to understand the beauty of the relationship, of the marriage relationship, you're going to have to be a man of Scripture and get into the Word of God and say, okay, Lord, show me how I'm supposed to treat my wife. How is our relationship supposed to grow? Because I want to tell you, you get stuck on the wives submit to your husband thing. We preached this a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to remind you. It builds the case so that we treat our wives in such a manner that they have no choice, but they want to submit to our leadership. Because we love them as Christ loved the church. Okay? Now Peter opens here with understand. Dwell with them according to understanding. Number one, don't be stupid and think you've got it figured out all on your own. Okay? You look to God's Word for instruction. Number two, okay? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Okay? Second thing that Peter said, if you're going to dwell with them according to understanding, here's the understanding. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. That word giving means to portion out. You know what honor is, right? That's to ascribe value to a person. That means that you are supposed to continually portion out or give out honor to your wife. That she thinks that you value her more than anything else in this world. Whether it be golf clubs or a bass boat or motorcycles or any of his hobbies, you've got to convince her that she is the treasure of your life. She needs to know that. Tell her that you love her. Don't be one of those who said, I told her I love her when we got married, and if it changes, I'll tell her. No, you tell her every day. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Value her. Ascribe to her. You see, her self-worth, men, to a large extent, is based upon how we value her. Have you ever seen a beaten down wife? It's a sad thing when a man allows his wife to be beaten down. And I want to tell you, there's two kinds of abuse. There's physical abuse. And let me address that for just a moment. If you are a man that hits your wife, you are a coward. Okay? And if I find out that you have hit your wife, I will break every speed limit and run every stoplight in town to get to the police station to turn you in and file charges on you myself. Okay? It takes a coward of a man to strike a wife. That is abuse, and that should not in any shape, form, or fashion be tolerated. Again, I go back to the good old boy theory, you know. Take a three or four of them good old boys, take that abusive husband out back, and we'll show him how life's supposed to be, right? And I say that with a loving Christian spirit. Okay? I really do. But there is also an emotional abuse that men are capable of putting their wives through. Such things as, you don't look like you did. You don't clean house. You don't cook. You don't, you know, if all they ever hear from us is negative, that's what they'll become. I believe with all my heart that God placed my wife in my life. He gave her to me. And let me tell you, I'm not up here preaching this because I've got it all figured out. Every time I read these passages, I think, oh man, I'm blowing it. I'm blowing it. But she needs to know that she is the most precious treasure in your life. That's what it means to honor her. Treat her as your treasure. Hold her hand. Do you ever hold her hand anymore? It's okay to still date your wife a little bit after you've been married 30, 40, 50 years. You know? Show her that you value her. Open the door. You know? Tell her that you love her. Recognize and appreciate her. It's easy to take them for granted, guys, isn't it? If we come home and there's a meal that they have prepared, boy, that was good. Eat it and go sit on the couch and watch TV and forget about it. No, praise her. Praise her. She prepared that for you because she loves you. Let her know that you appreciate her. Don't take her for granted. Even, and get this, even respect her. Okay? Respect her desires. Respect how she feels. And listen, don't make decisions without your wife's men. Okay? The husband being the head of the house does not mean that you shut her out of every decision-making process. Life will go a lot better if you honor her and say, "Honey, how do you feel about this?" And when she tells you, you take it and you weigh it. And you make a decision according to the direction of God. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If we as husbands will just be considerate, honoring, respecting our wives, maybe we'll never get to that point where they say, "Who is this old man I'm married to?" You know? You know what I think is so sweet? I've seen couples celebrate their 50th and 60th anniversary that are still in love. That is a beautiful thing and the way that it is supposed to be. Men, value your wife. Honor her. As the weaker vessel. You know what that means? Weaker means delicate. Treat her like a lady. Period. Treat her like a lady. Because she deserves to be treated that way if she's living with you. Amen? Amen. All right. Don't be stupid. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Third thing you need to remember. If she ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You're not happy. If she ain't happy, you ain't happy. And I know the ain'ts and the English and I understand it. But that's the phrase. That's how it goes, okay? That's how it goes. He said, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs mean to inherit together. That word grace is pleasure and joy. Do you realize it's not a competition? It is a partnership in a marriage. And that when one of you are happy, chances are the other one will be happy. Isn't it amazing how that works? If Beth is miserable, I'm miserable. If she's hurting for some reason, if she's crying, I'm ready to cry. If she's happy, then most of the time I'm happy, you know? It's just amazing. And the reason, you know why it's that way? It's because when you stood there to take those marriage vows, you heard the words, "They two shall become," what? "One flesh." Isn't it amazing the bond that God can put between a man and a woman? And isn't it amazing? I've seen, you know, couple after couple after couple go through marriage problems and they just want to fight and they just want to compete and it's my way and I never get my way kind of mentality, and they're both miserable. And I want to just say, hey, you know, you can be happy in this relationship if instead of being such a competition, it becomes a partnership. Because you're already one flesh. God has put you together. The problem is you don't know that you're just destroying your own body. I figured out you can enjoy life together or you can be miserable together. The choice is yours as a couple. You know? Men, the choice is yours. But I can promise you this. If she ain't happy, you're not going to be happy. And why go through life miserable? Right? Amen? I mean, why? Marriage is supposed to be a blessing, a completion. Wives, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. He who loves himself loves his wife. That's what it says. If she ain't happy, men, you're not going to be happy. Fourth point, and final point, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, this is where it gets really serious. Okay? Fourth point, if things aren't right at home, you're not right with God. Okay? You can play and you can pretend and you can act out church all you want to, but if things aren't right at home, things are not going to be right with God and you spiritually. Okay? I want to break this scripture down because I want you to get it. And I mean, it's too important for you not to get. Okay? That word hindered means to be cut off. And it was used in the Greek to describe cutting off a branch. Okay? Metaphorically, it means to remove the opportunity or to eliminate or do away with. And literally, if it's literally interpreted, we would say that your prayers be not cut off. Now, it's a verb and it's passive. All right? Meaning, it's not that you don't pray when there's problem. It means that God's saying, if you don't listen to me, how to build a marriage, if you can't honor and love your wife, if you can't show her that she's the treasure of your life after I've given you her as a gift, if you can't do that, men, don't expect me to listen to you. Have you ever, time after time, I've seen men and women make the comment that are going through marriage challenges, well, Brother Doug, I just can't pray anymore. It's like nobody's listening. Guess what? Guess what? A lot of times, it's because your prayers have been cut off. If you're not treasuring that wife, if you're not nurturing that relationship, if you're not loving your wife as Christ loved the church, men, you're blowing it. Okay? You're blowing it. And it'll get in the way of your relationship with God. The question is, men, why live any other way but happy? Amen? I mean, why not enjoy life? Why not enjoy that partnership that God gives? Why not build a relationship so strong that Satan himself cannot come between? And let's face it, okay? All right. There's no such thing as a fairy tale marriage, right? I don't care who you are. Beth and I are probably one of the least fighting couples ever. We just don't fight very much at all. But in 28 years, I can promise you, we have not agreed on everything. Okay? There's been times that we've been up here on the mountaintop, and I've just loved her so much I could have squeezed her to death, you know? And there's been times down here I still loved her, but it was a little more challenging. Probably my fault, but still. Okay? But let me tell you, every mountaintop that you cross, every valley that you go through, serves to bring you closer together. When you're going, you know, raising kids should not separate you, mom and dad. Okay? You should not put all your attention into the kids so much so that you don't have a relationship with your wife. Okay? You need one another. It takes a team to raise children. A partnership. There is a place for a mom and a place for a dad. And y'all stand as a team, as a partnership. When the kids know, when they've talked to mom, they've talked to dad. And when they've talked to dad, they've talked to mom. There's such a oneness between you. Never let the kids play you. Kids know how to do that, you know. They do. They know how to set mom against dad and dad against mom. Never let that happen. Never let the challenges and trials of life tear you apart. Husbands, you need her. Okay? That's the long and short of it. Treat her like you need her. You want me to share something with you? It's really cool. My children, I love them with all my heart. I've got two of my daughters here today and a son-in-law. Bless their heart. I love them. But Beth and I have reached this really neat little point in our life. We're living in a two-bedroom apartment and we got plenty of room. You know? And if we want to go, guess what we do? We go. And if we want to stay, we stay. Now, don't get me wrong when I say this. I've cherished every moment that I've had kids at home. But you know, all that we went through as parents has drawn us a little closer for this point. And you know what? Sometimes I feel like Beth and I are kind of dating again. You know? I look back and I think, wow, this is pretty good stuff, darling, isn't it? It's pretty good stuff. But I want you to understand, because Satan is attacking so many marriages today, and there are so many that say, man, I just don't think it's worth it. Just throw up your hands and quit. I've had enough. It's worth it. Okay? It's worth it. You need her. Wives, you need him. Your kids need to see you together, sticking it out through thick and thin. Your Christian friends need to see you sticking it out, working, being together. Because you see, you know what happens in a church? When divorces start, here's what happened in a church. It never comes in ones. It never comes in ones. Because people are watching and they'll say, well, if they can do it, if they can get a divorce, well, I can get a divorce. And then somebody else sees it. Well, if they can do it, I can do it. And it goes on and on and on. And let me tell you this. Been pastoring for over 20 years. I have counseled with couple after couple. I have explained to them the cost of divorce and separation and what it does to their children and what it does to them and what it does to their church and what it does to their family. I've went, time and time again. I have never seen a divorce that came out good. Never. And I've dealt with a lot of couples. Okay? Is it worth it? Absolutely. But men, we've got to be men of God's Word. Men who love our wives as Christ loved the church. Men who will build a life on the Bible, God's holy word. You may be here today. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me tell you. Okay? God is good. Okay? He's just good. He's so good He gave His only begotten Son to come to this earth, to suffer upon the cross of Calvary, taking your sins punishment and dying a horrible crucifixion, death for you because He loves you. And He offers that salvation to you freely. That whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Today, God offers you an opportunity to change your life for the better. A change that will not only follow you in this life but will follow you throughout eternity. Listen, you know what? I'm going to heaven. What about you? I have that assurance knowing whatever happens a minute from now, a day from now, 50 years from now, when this life is through, I'm going to heaven. Are you? If not, we want to give you the chance to be saved. You're a prayer away by simply asking Jesus for salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you do that this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank You for our families. And I thank You, Lord, for the instruction of Your Word. Father, help us as men to be men. to look to your word for guidance on the kind of husband that we should be, the loving husband, the husband that values our wives, the husband that will love them as you love the church. And Lord, I pray for those in this service this morning who do not know you in the free pardon of sin, who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day they begin to build their life and their relationship with you. I pray that today will be the day they call on you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.